yes. Very good.
So nice to have you here on The Measure of an Episode.
Wait, is that a continuing mission? Who are we doing? I don't even know who this is. I'm just copying it's whatever you were doing.
Kind of a Vincent Price.
It's like a cartoon version. Hello. Yes. How are you? Speaking of cartoon version, this is The Measure of an Episode, where it is a continuing mission to explore what makes Star Trek genuine Star Trek. And not just crossover hijinks.
Second marshmallow reward that I have waited for so patiently.
Nope, I'm Paul.
And I'm Jonathan. And we do this using three criteria. The first one is there sci-fi required in the plot for it to make sense? Number two, is that sci-fi presented in a unique or novel fashion? And number three, is there a character who faces a moral, ethical, or philosophical dilemma? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Paul. And this week we watched a very special episode of Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 7. Those old scientists. Do they make that up? So they say in the show that TOS stands for right. Those old scientists. Is that a thing in the fan base, or did they make that up for the show?
They made it up for Lower Decks. Yeah. They said TOS several times when they were referring to the TOS, the original series.
But they don't say the original series. They say TOS, right?
Right.
Because if they said the original series, that would be too meta, right?
Right. So they said TOS, and then somebody else, not in this episode previously, like they said, what does that even stand for or something? And they said, those old scientists.
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense, but I'm fine with it. Because
right. It makes enough sense for you to go along with it and go, oh, that's clever. Nice little wink.
Yeah. And what's funny about this episode, well, I guess we should read the blurb. An accident while investigating a time portal send Instant Bread Bowler through the time from the 24th century, and Captain Pike and his crew must get him back where he belongs before he can somehow alter the timeline.
I mean,
that is verbatim.
Right. The rest of it's great. I'm just super happy with Instant Bread Bowler. That's amazing.
I try and read it like as fast as I can just to maybe trip up the Siri, as it were, but sometimes she's getting good.
Right.
She's getting too good.
Yeah. But I had something, but it's not exciting or funny at all. So I'll go ahead and tell you, but please take this out.
Well, maybe we should rechristen the podcast Mushrooms Butthole.
I think you should cut out my entire story. And just put that in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's basically editing anyway, how I edited the podcast anyway.
Right.
So this was more of a Lower Decks episode than it was a Strange New Worlds episode.
Yeah, it was a Lower Decks episode in a Strange New World skin. Totally.
And I have to say, big giant balls for starting a Strange New Worlds episode with Lower Decks. They started the episode with a cartoon.
Right.
If you can believe that. And if you can imagine the casual Star Trek watcher who likes Strange New Worlds because it's approachable, not as intimidating to watch because there's all this stuff you have to know. It's kind of like the way I feel when I think about maybe watching Doctor Who at any given time and any given season. I'm just like, no, there's too much baggage.
Too daunting, right.
Yeah. That's why I don't watch soap operas.
Or any new Marvel movies. Like that's one of the reasons why the Marvels, it's one of the reasons, one of the speculations as to why the Marvels didn't do well. But they're also, just to go off on that tangent really quick, they're doing this horrible thing of Marvel Spotlight, trying to show audiences like, hey, you don't need to know a lot of the canon that's happened so far and you can just enjoy this by itself.
It's also a tad dishonest because I think the reason people like Marvel is not because the isolated plot lines are particularly interesting. It's because the legacy of characters that we've been watching for the last, 15 years now?
Right.
That's what we're here for. Anyway, okay, so tell me this.
Okay.
Is this the first time that there has been a crossover between two related television shows or movies where a cartoon character or animated character becomes a real character? And not in a like one-off, one scene, like cameo type of thing, but actually as a character.
On TV?
or in movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, in movies it happens more often. Pagemaster is one that I can think of. James and the Giant Peach is another.
There were two separate, but
A crossover? Sorry.
Yeah. My point is this is the first time this has ever happened in the canon of television / media.
Right. I feel like it has happened before, where there's a crossover between an animation and a live action. But
there you go, folks. You've heard it here first. We're pretty sure this is the first time this has happened before. Or at least Jonathan thinks so.
No, I said I'm pretty sure it's happened before. You're saying you're pretty sure.
You heard it here first.
Most of the time when there's a live action animation crossover, the live action stays live action and the animation stays animated. I can't think of a time like this where the animation becomes live action and vice versa. Like, I mean, because the things that come to mind are the Space Jam, the Looney Tunes, like movies where the animation goes into the real world.
Right. Or like Roger Rabbit,
right.
Framed Roger Rabbit, that kind of thing.
Right.
But all the characters are always maintain their form, I guess you could say. They just go into a different environment.
Mm-hmm. The new Spider-Verse movie, there was one scene where they went, the live action characters became animated. I feel like that happens. But again, it's not in a crossover. Like that's probably the closest one, but it's still all Spider-Man related.
Yeah, I mean these are just, and they're more off one-off scenes or something like that.
Yeah,
and in this scenario, they're the same characters, and they don't know that they're animated.
Right.
Yes, I guess they don't typically know that they're animated. Anyway, this was a really cool, very interesting look into the fact that animation is an entirely different beast from live action,
mm-hmm.
And they reference it a lot in the show where yep. that you know I think one of them says. People talk so much slower here and quieter.
Which was great because that's something that we've talked about as well. Like how in the 30-minute episodes, they can just shoot off the dialogue as fast as they want for the jokes.
Right. And it shows you how much the conversations in animation are crafted. They're not happening in real time. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, all animation, each character is recorded one at a time. And then they piece together artificially. Every conversation is a construct. They don't ever have two characters talking to each other because you can't do it that way, right? That there's a pacing that you have to create in animation that you just can't do in real life.
Well, and I would say maybe. That's more for episodic television animation because I know that for like Monsters, Inc. and Frozen, they did have the characters as often as possible doing the lines together, so the inflections and interactions were more genuine.
That very well may be, but I can guarantee that they edited the spaces between them. They edited the words out. You know, like it's not as organic as a live action.
Right, as a single shot taken. Right, right,
right. Any, of course, in live action, they do a lot of editing and they do a lot of kind of black magic when it comes to performances.
Yeah, but they don't typically edit the lines. In a sentence.
They very well could be speeding up artificially the speech as well.
That's true, yeah.
You know, because when we finally see Boimler and we finally see, not Rutherford, what's her name?
Mariner.
It doesn't, even though it's the same actors and mm-hmm. they happen to look a little bit like their animated counterparts, there's no connection for me. Right. Even the fact that their voices, they're trying very hard to act like the animated characters. Like mm-hmm. to me, the connection is lost. They're just new characters to me.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Like I didn't feel like I was watching Lower Decks. It just was in live action. Did it to you?
the second time, yes.
It did feel it or the second time it didn't feel it?
No, the second time it did feel more like I was watching the Lower Decks characters and they weren't okay. just random new characters.
Right. I could tell that it was Boimler. Especially the way he ran. Like it seemed like he was trying to ape the way they make him run in the show.
Yes.
In the animation show.
Yeah. Apparently it's called the Section 31 walk. Like, I don't know why, but I love that that's what it's called.
But I just found it interesting because I feel like they don't, this must be why they don't do this is because A, the people voicing the characters don't usually look like the people, the animated characters. And so you have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have the problem of it just doesn't feel like animation. It doesn't feel that the pacing is just way off.
Right. Know? Well, and it's not as exaggerated, you know. I mean, just think about the episode of the Exxon one, On the Brink of Exxon, or whatever it's called.
Oh, in the bosom of Vexilon?
Yeah. That one. Like when he's trying to get all of the equipment back from the shuttle back to the hard drive, his arms and legs are flailing about as he's holding these three giant heavy pieces of equipment, and you cannot transfer that to live action.
No, it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. I thought it was a neat little study. Aside from the actual episode itself, I thought it was fun to see that. I wish they would do this more. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't they have the whole crew over? You know,
right?
They could dress almost everybody up. I don't know what Rutherford looks like in real life. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen that actor before. Right.
Rutherford and Tendi are good. Freeman is good. Shax is not. Ransom is good. Yeah, I think Shax is the only one where he does not match his voice.
Right. And it was funny that we got what we wanted, which was an animated version of Strange New Worlds,
mm-hmm.
for no reason. Like, right. There was nothing said or acknowledged about the fact that one is animated and one isn't.
Well, and they did. I mean, you know, when he first comes in, he says, "Wow, you guys look very realistic." And then at the end, they said, "Does everything look two dimensional to you?"
Yeah, that's true.
So there's that little nod and a wink. But
well, they did say also, I think Spock said this. One of them said this when they're in the conference room. They say their references are oddly specific.
Yes. We kind of got what we wanted as well from Spock this time in his dialogue. He kind of put emphasis on the phrase, you know, it's a flip of a coin, without actually saying as humans say.
Right. The whole weird thing with Spock where he's smiling and it is totally disturbing to Boimler.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's terrifying. You see, this is what makes me want there to be a Boimler on that show permanently.
Right.
Because it's so much fun. I feel like it works in that Strange New Worlds paradigm. It wouldn't work, obviously, very well in Discovery or even Picard, where there's just this fanboy walking around being like, oh my God, it's Riker, he's going to do the thing, you know, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Strange New Worlds definitely has that level of lighthearted energy that Discovery and Picard just don't.
Don't.
Yeah. And I feel like Prodigy could.
But I'm so happy for Boimler in this episode because this is kind of what he's getting, what he's always wanted in a way.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to be in the world. I mean, he eventually realizes that he wants to be a fanboy in his present time type of thing.
Right.
But I was so happy for him. And, you know, he gets to be the hero a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't feel like this was an episode that was kind of outside of the scope of Strange New Worlds. Even though I said it was a Lower Decks episode, it still felt like it could have been an episode of some kind, right?
Well, yeah. And the fact that there were a couple scenes with Pike and Una, and they were still being Pike and Una.
This is one of these examples of an episode where you cannot watch it out of time or just happen upon it, right?
Right.
I guess that's why they started it with Lower Decks, because if you're here for just a casual viewing, this is not the episode for you, right?
Right, right.
Really, none of the episodes are. I mean, if you think about, you know, it's totally separate from what we were saying about Marvel. I don't think any of Lower Decks, I don't think really any of Strange New Worlds, you could really watch not being some kind of a Star Trek fan and get a lot out of it.
Right.
Can you? I mean, I guess Strange New Worlds, you could watch it and it's kind of self-contained, but it just feels so dependent on everything that came before it.
Yeah.
Not in a specific way, like not dependent in the sense of, oh, they're saying all these words that wouldn't understand, but just the vibe
mm-hmm.
feels very much like you need to have experienced all of the 50 or 60 years of Star Trek.
Right.
Which sounds daunting. I know.
Yeah. Well, and I disagree a little bit. I think that Strange New Worlds is designed. I mean, it's like Marvel, where you have to know what you're going into, where there is 60 years of history. But knowing that, like if you just came into Strange New Worlds, I do feel like you could enjoy it for what it is. You probably would be a little lost on this episode. And I wonder if this episode was kind of throwing down the gauntlet to the people who love Strange New Worlds but hate Lower Decks because it's a cartoon. there are fans who just refuse to watch it just because of its lowbrow humor. And so I wonder if it was specifically a Strange New Worlds episode with the Lower Decks crossover and not the other way around to kind of force them to watch a Lower Decks episode.
It's probably very likely that a lot of people who watch Lower Decks are watching Strange New Worlds.
Oh, for sure.
It's very likely that there are not a lot of people who are watching Strange New Worlds or that are watching Lower Decks. And so that would explain that as well.
Right.
By the way, I am completely and utterly disappointed in the characterization of Pike's hair in his animated form.
Oh, I know.
It was so toned. It was actually more toned down than it is in the live action.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually... So in, how does it go? In the animated version of the Tick, his antenna are just kind of flopping around because they felt like in action, you wouldn't be able to animate his antenna. So they didn't do it in the cartoon. They just kind of flop around. But in the live action Tick, they actually figured out a way to animate the antenna. So they, you know, kind of ironically, the live action one has more animation than the animated one. And yeah, I agree. Like they kind of down, like his hair in the live action is a cartoon.
Right. And kind of similar to the Andorians and their antenna in Star Trek. I think we talked about this in the one of the
Enterprise,
Enterprise episodes. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I keep forgetting that there's a whole show called Enterprise.
I know.
Because it seems like the Enterprise is in every show.
Right.
So it can't be called that. It's called Scott Bakula.
Well, yeah. And for that reason, it kind of makes me frustrated that the original series, The Next Generation, Strange New Worlds all have that opening monologue and Enterprise didn't. And I understand why at the time it didn't, but in legacy terms, it should have.
I think it's okay. I can see them wanting to have some sort of departure from it. I understand the impulse to do that.
Yes.
You don't want to just keep redoing that.
And that's why they gave it a theme song with lyrics.
Right. Thank God for that.
Right. I know. Huge change of pace. Man, that was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Really set it apart and accelerated its cancellation. Right. So speaking of the intro.
That sentence did not go the direction I thought it would.
Yeah, the intro. So this is proof that we're not fans. Or at least that I'm not a fan. Maybe you recognize this, but I'm going to predict that you didn't. So I have no idea if the new intro that they put at the beginning of this episode was an animated version of the Strange New Worlds intro, the Lower Decks intro just because that was the Lower Decks intro, or something new altogether, some sort of hybrid. I have no idea.
Do you want to know?
Don't pretend like you knew.
I do. I did.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Okay. Which one is it?
Well, so it kind of makes me curious about it. So it's an animated version of the Strange New Worlds intro. And I did compare them. I went back to a previous episode and it is basically a shot for shot, except for the larval sucking on the nacelle.
That's from Lower Decks.
Yeah, that's from Lower Decks. And then there was the koala at the very end. But I've been skipping the intro for so long that I forgot how good this theme song is. Like, I really enjoyed it. I was like, this is like a really gets you hyped for the episode.
Well, it's like a modernized version, you could say, of the old TOS theme song.
Mm, maybe. The only
because the theme is da 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 da. You know, that's the TOS theme song, and they just kind of redid that a little bit.
Oh, and over and over, right, which is fair.
Right.
But I think what made me so shocked about it is because I've only been hearing the tag at the very end, which really was a producer. Hang on. I've got a sneeze coming.
I want to see if you can get everything in before the sneeze.
I was trying. Oh, it's just tickling me.
And then the way that they did the music.
Or like just not even pausing for the sneeze, you know? And then the producer came with it.
Well, it's the same thing when you try and talk through a yawn. Like, why do we do that? Just yawn and then finish the sentence, you know?
But anyway, yeah, the producers, like they had to have said, like, we just need some little button at the end to show that this is paying reference to the original series. Because just that little at the very end is just, not associated with like the rest of the theme.
See, I disagree. I think that the theme is just a very recognizable variation on that tune. I mean, that's the most they quote it in the theme. But to me, it sounds almost identical to the original theme.
Oh, I agree. But what I'm saying is like kind of at the end of the Picard theme song, you know, where it was like,
yeah,
like just very faint flute, I think. Like, but the rest of the theme song for Enterprise, like it feels like it should end with like that Next Generation punch, the ba 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 bum.
Right. You're right.
This is my musical moment. Singing all over the place over here.
Just thinking how funny only your side of the recording sounds.
Yeah.
And I did catch when he says Riker. Thought that was very funny. I don't think I would have caught that if you hadn't told me about it previously.
Right. And that's fair. Yeah. And
does he do that in the Lower Decks?
No, but it does make sense that Boimler would know about it. We haven't seen it yet, but he did join Riker on the Titan for a couple episodes. So he would have seen that sitting procedure.
Got it. Well, he would know. Like,
it's Boimler. Right. But yeah, he would know anyway. Like the fact that Jonathan Frakes directed this episode, and that was totally an improv moment. And the fact that Jonathan Frakes chose to let it in, like, or keep it in, is just great.
Oh, I didn't know that Jonathan Frakes directed this episode. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's good.
So he watched him just throw his leg over. Riker!
Right. See, that makes me wonder, is that actor whose name I can't think of?
He's a Quaid. You can tell by the smile.
Oh. Jack Quaid? Is that right?
That sounds right. Great name.
It's approaching Total Recall for me for some reason.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Quaid, get your ass to Mars. But
is it Quaid?
His name is Quaid.
Okay.
But he looks nothing like
Dennis or Randy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Randy Quaid in Total Recall.
Look, he actually, as a serious actor, is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He can actually act.
Yeah.
He just kind of went off the rails a little bit.
He just enjoys doing comedy, you know? And yeah. But like, yeah, when he does drama, he's intimidating.
Yeah. It's cool.
Because he's huge.
Yeah. Well, now when he does drama, it has a much different, there's a different flavor to it.
right? Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was great. I did want there to be, I don't know, it felt like a lot of the show was the Strange New Worlds cast reacting to the Lower Decks cast.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I thought it was good the first half because they were kind of acclimating to this strange person.
Mm-hmm.
But it got old. I felt like they should have been working together a little bit more in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, it is fun to see Pike annoyed, right?
Right.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to see Pike annoyed. It's fun to see, I can never remember the security officer's name.
Uh-huh.
What her real name is.
La'an. Yeah. La'an Nunyan Sung.
Nunyan Sung, not Khan.
No, La'an. Nuh-uh.
Again, your children listening in the background, like, is he having a stroke?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that would have been nice. I felt like maybe a missed opportunity. It's kind of the same, you know, you could separate it from when Mariner gets there. That's the sort of mm-hmm. second half of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there could have been a little bit more.
But also just plot. With the timeline interference, you know, that's where the irritation came from. And it like they realized quickly that they couldn't trust Boimler to not interfere, and so it would be very hard, or you know, not say anything that would potentially impact the timeline. And so it would be very difficult to work with someone who you really can't listen to.
Right. That's true. And I felt like the whole situation where they figure out how to fix the problem
mm-hmm.
was the most fun because it wasn't just, we get to see these fish out of water, you know, fish out of water is fine for a couple of scenes,
right.
I think. Mm-hmm. And then it gets old.
Yeah. And so just speaking again to her character, like Carol Kane should come over to Lower Decks just so she can have a moment with them and like be able to like not subtly reference things, you know, like everybody knows that they traveled into the past and she would now be old enough to be in the future. And so for her to like see them, you know, and be like, oh, you made it back. I'm so glad. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's you, you know, type thing. But I had that one scene with.
I want there to be some sort of acknowledgement that one is animated and one isn't, but that would ruin it.
Right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would just be that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I love those little, like exactly what they did here. Those little subtle references to real life changes, you know, like when Don Cheadle took over for Terrence Mann in Marvel, and the very first time we see him, he's like, I'm here. It's me. Get over it. And then the Hulk just recently in She-Hulk, he was talking about how like when he fought the Abomination that was in the Ed Norton movie, you know, and he's like, we've grown so much since then. I'm a completely different person. You know, like these lines make sense in real dialogue, and it's a nice like just meta awareness without being like, you know, I was played by somebody else.
Right. Which is technically the best kind of reference, where it's functional, but also it's like a dual function type of line.
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking to the audience directly and also to the characters in the show.
Right.
Yeah. I liked it. I think they should do a whole season of this. And I wonder how difficult it was for the two actors from Lower Decks to try and be as Lower Decks as they could, but still be in a show where they have to convince people that it's a real show.
Right.
I'm sure they talk about it, but
they did have interviews with Quaid and I don't remember her name, but Mariner, with Boimler and Mariner and their live action counterparts, just talking about how fun it was to play their animated characters in real life and how different it was. I mean, you know, because Jack Quaid is huge compared to Boimler. And so they talk about that in the Ready Room, how like Shax has to be 8 feet tall given how tall he is over Boimler.
I think the thing to do though is just don't talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. Unless it's obvious, like some sort of weird thing you can make a joke out of, you just don't talk about it and just don't let it go. Right?
Well, yeah,
I wouldn't have noticed that,
right.
I don't think.
Well, yeah, and they didn't talk about it. They just talked about it behind the scenes, you know, just how Boimler is small in Lower Decks, but he's towering over everybody in Strange New Worlds.
And it's funny because I know him visually from The Boys.
Right.
I started watching the Boys before I started watching Lower Decks. And so it's hard for me to even hear him and connect those two people, Boimler and Jack Quaid.
Mm.
So when I see him, I just see the guy
from The Boys.
From The Boys, who's acting kind of goofy and has blue hair.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have gone way more colorful with his hair too.
Maybe
they wanted to keep it realistic, I guess, maybe. Do they talk about his hair?
Mm-mm.
Not in this show, but in Lower Decks ever.
I don't think so.
Here's what a fan I not am. What?
Bizarro.
I don't even know if his hair changes color throughout the course of the show.
No, it doesn't.
It's the same color.
Yeah.
The whole time? Oh.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah, it's not like a hair dyeing thing. Like that is his hair color. So you're right. Like it is disappointing that it turned out so dark in the live action. And the only thing I can think is kind of because he was borrowed from The Boys, like they couldn't go too crazy with his hair.
Well, I go to the wig idea, but then we're just be like, it's a wig
that's
purple, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is his hair purple or whatever color it is?
I think it was just an animation choice. Like he's human. So, you know, it was just.
I wonder if it has to do with the fact that he's from a winery or he, his family owns a winery.
Right. That's what it does to you now. Like. That's what wine does to you if you're pregnant. Yeah, just turns your hair purple. That's what it does in the future.
Right. Not a proper Star Trek episode.
Right.
I don't think it did anything interesting, did it?
I don't think it was unique or novel. You know, there is the sci-fi, obviously, about the time travel. But even there, they're trying to get it back, but it was a MacGuffin. Like, there wasn't really anything about time travel in the plot. There was in the dialogue.
But time travel is not novel in Star Trek.
I mean,
they even used a prop from the TOS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the only novel thing is the cartoon crossover, which that's only true for the audience. It's not true for the show.
Right. It's very Back to the Future-esque, where their goal is just trying to get them back.
Right.
And there was the whole Orion thing, but that's not sci-fi.
Yeah. See, it was fun. It was fun in the sense that he got to interact with all of the main Strange New World crew, and they all kind of had their moment of, you guys are all famous in the future, mm-hmm. type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it would have been more fun if that was handled in the first half of the episode. Get that all taken care of. They're all delighted that everybody has posters of them, et cetera.
Right.
And then get more into them in the same way that Marty interacts with Doc in the past, where, yes, there are subtle nods that Marty is from the future, and that's the overarching problem, but that's not what they talk about. All that stuff is handled immediately, and then it's never talked about again. Mm-hmm. You know? It was plot light for the sake of hijinks, I think, in the crossover.
And there really wasn't an ethical or moral dilemma. There was like reluctance to accept it. You know, Boimler was trying really hard not to reveal the future, but he kept spilling it. But like, that wasn't a dilemma of should I or shouldn't I. That was a, you know, Hagrid, I shouldn't have told you that.
Right. Right. It would have been fun if there was some sort of weird consequence. You know, it didn't really affect anything necessarily, but something is different when Boimler and Mariner get back to their own timeline.
This would have changed the episode completely, but because I know that they wanted to focus on the Lower deck side, but it would have been fun if, like, maybe because they were right next to the portal, you know, kind of like how when Bones went through the portal in City on the Edge of Forever and the Enterprise just disappeared, you know, so kind of along the same lines. So Mariner had to go back to fix whatever Boimler messed up, but then we're getting into City on the Edge of Forever.
Right. I wonder how well this episode did in the sense of, okay, so did people like this and do they want more of it? Because they were kind of teasing it in that shot where Mariner comes through and they're about to go or back to the future. And they say, okay, we'll be there right there. You know, like almost like saying, we can do this again if you want. You know, I don't know if they will do that or if it's too expensive to do that. Mm-hmm. This is a one-off. I think they should make a whole new show.
Right. Strange Lower Decks.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, definitely not a proper episode.
No, unfortunately, because it was fun.
Yeah. But so, yeah, fun. I mean, still a great episode.
I felt like Mariner almost felt more cartoony in real life or in live action than she does in the Lower Decks. It felt, I don't, maybe just because she's, again, a fish out of water. It felt like she was being more outspoken, I guess. I don't know. It's difficult.
Well, yeah, I think it's because she was playing it more animated, and her character about being a troublemaker, you know, is her over the top animation. But her as a, like, her dialogue and character isn't really as animated.
Yeah, it's more bare bones, I guess. Like, she's meaner in the show in Lower Decks. She wasn't really mean in this, right? But that's it. Okay. But that's it. I want there to be more. I guess I was left wanting more.
Right. I mean, that's it's good when there's more coming.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's always disappointing when you're like, yeah, that was fun. I'd love to see more of that. There's nothing on the horizon for that. So,
well, there must be something. They
did kind of with the very short treks. I don't know if you saw that or not. But they did a couple of animated sequences just because of the writer's strike to put stuff out. Mm-hmm. Not writer's strike, actor strike. And they were able to use the animation of that. And then they also introduced animation of the Next Generation and Voyager and that kind of thing. So those were like that is kind of scratching that itch, but not like this.
Well, there are all these shows that share the same universe, even if it's not cartoon or animation to live action, just have them, give them reasons to do this, right? It's fun. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine Boimler and Picard.
Right.
Which I think would be in Boimler's future.
Yeah. So maybe he's like Captain Boimler.
That'd be awesome. Like, what happens to me in the future?
Fleet Admiral Boimler. Yeah. Well, so and fun. That could be fun if, like, it was one of those where he took over his old body. Like, not old as in used to be, but old as in he's aged.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do have precedent for that in Strange New Worlds, where old Pike comes to visit current Pike.
Yeah, but he comes to visit, so it's two separate bodies. I'm saying, like, he takes over the aged body, so he's now, you know.
Oh, so we have a vice versa Fred Savage, Judge Reinhold situation here. So the old one needs to go into the animation then. How about that?
Yeah, well,
can't just disappear.
Right, well, and yeah, that would be great. Like, it's one of those things where the episode can be about old Boimler in young Boimler's body. It would be Tapestry, basically.
Yes.
But yeah, from the Lower Deck side, not from the main character's side. That would be good.
Yeah, I mean, you could do all sorts of stuff. I mean, I guess what this proves is that the audience is fine tolerating these weird kind of supernatural situations.
Mm, yeah, we're going to find out, not next week, but the week after, how tolerant they are. Very curious, because I'm pretty sure the next episode is the musical episode.
On Strange New Worlds?
Yeah, no, on Picard.
Honestly, either would make sense to me. It makes so little sense that it makes sense.
It goes
around the horn.
Right. It's actually pretty great how, like, it's not just, it's actually, oh my gosh, I'm pulling a Paul today, like just stammering over all my words. Bizarro?
Is that what Bizarro sounds like?
I mean, you made him sound like Yoda earlier.
That's not what he sounds like in Smallville, okay?
What did he sound like?
He sounded like what's his name from Buffy / Angel.
David or James Marsters? No, that was Brainiac. You're thinking
James
of Brainiac.
Marsters. Oh, am I?
Yeah. Okay. No, Bizarro is the... It was Tom Welling. And like his face got crystallized. I stopped watching by that point. So
yeah, you know so much about it.
It was in the commercial, you know, it was like Bizarro. And I was like, oh, there's another character they're ruining.
I'm going to switch back to American Idol.
Right. I'll come back in 30 minutes. I'll get caught up. It's fine.
Yeah.
dang it. Hang on. Oh, let me get there. What were you?
It was a Boimler.
Damn it. Oh, well.
Anyway, so a good episode, but not a Star Trek, proper Star Trek episode.
Right? Yeah. Okay. One last note, and this is like just kind of a tangential thing, not related at all, but the grain that they were sending out was like triticale, mm-hmm. And the grain that was in Trouble with Tribbles was quadriticale. So there's...
That seems like it's a non-reference though.
Right. But it's...
What is it referencing?
I don't know, but it's the only type of grain that has been mentioned is triticale and, you know... And then quadriticale.
Right. I'm surprised you picked up on that.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. I figured out all on my own.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, so I've been Jonathan.
And I've been Paul.
And this has been A Measure of an Episode.
But you already knew that.
Seven surprise.